Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're really getting into the weeds on value for value V4V music podcasting. And look, if you're listening, you probably already get the basic idea. Maybe you're even boosting shows yourself. What really kicked off this deep dive for us was some pretty big news. Kevin Baugh, who hosted Sats and Sounds for like ages, 100 episodes, he announced he was stepping back. And that, well, it sparked this big, honest roundtable chat with key people in the V4V music world.
Yeah, and that's our mission today, really, to sort of unpack what came out of that discussion. Some really candid stuff, sometimes even conflicting views. We want to explore the actual challenges, the surprising bits, too, and what it all means for artists and, well, for you, the listener, in this whole V4V music thing. We'll look at the tech hurdles, the community side of things, and the different ideas shaping where this might go.
Right. So Kevin's decision, it clearly hit a nerve. And digging into that, it wasn't just about him stepping back. It felt bigger. One person in the chat even said they couldn't bring themselves to read Kevin's blog post right away.
Yeah.
Said it felt too personal because they love this space so much.
Mm. And Kevin gave two main reasons, right? First, the confusion around the Lightning Network technology itself.
Yeah.
And second, the rise of AI music, which is a whole other can of worms. But interestingly, on that first point, the Lightning confusion, the roundtable kind of pushed back a bit.
Exactly. My first thought was, okay, the wallets are confusing, sure. There are loads of apps, different services. It feels a bit messy.
Definitely.
But the feeling in the discussion was, you know, they can work together.
Huh.
It's maybe not the main roadblock stopping V4V music from taking off. So if it's not just about listeners figuring out wallets, what's the real sticking point?
What came through pretty clearly is that maybe the core issue isn't so much getting listeners to boost, because people are doing that. It's more about the musicians, getting them onboarded, getting their music hosted easily within a V4V setup. Mm. You know, most artists don't want the hassle of, quote, running their own node. That sounds scary and technical.
Right, yeah.
And maybe they don't want to just rely on one platform either, like maybe Wavelake, even if it's great. They want options, but easy ones. There was Ryan Fonda, a musician who shared his experience. He found getting his sats out of Wavelake to actually use them was, well, a pain. And he admitted, I wasn't thinking like a Bitcoiner.
Okay.
You know, a Bitcoiner might just stack those sats, see it as saving. But for an artist trying to pay rent, it's different. And this points to that disconnect. Musicians might love the idea of direct support, skipping Spotify or Apple where they barely earn anything, sometimes even pay to get heard.
Oh, yeah.
But then they hit this wall of like, what even is a Satoshi? It's a barrier, despite the potential upside.
So it's less about listeners not wanting to send value and more about making it frictionless for artists to actually receive and understand that value.
Yeah.
Which leads us neatly into this big technical debate bubbling under the surface. LNURL versus Keysend.
Yeah, this really popped up when Chris Lass, you know, from This Week in Bitcoin, talked about his show. He noticed his boosts, which were coming via Fountain using LNURL, were way down.
Mm.
And maybe even more importantly, the messages with the boost, they were missing, gone. Compared to when he used Keysend, it was a huge difference. So much so he switched back. It wasn't just the sats, it was losing that connection.
Okay, so let's break that down. There's this freedom-centric argument for Keysend.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that seen as so vital, like 100% censorship resistant? What does that actually mean in practice?
Okay, so Keysend is seen as like fundamental Bitcoin. It's peer-to-peer, built right into the protocol, no middleman needed. So theoretically, no one can easily block your payment or, crucially, the message attached to it. It's a direct value, direct communication. LNURL, on the other hand, it generally needs these public servers, these third parties, to work. Think maybe like using Strike or even PayPal, but for Lightning. It helps make things user-friendly sometimes, but
did it add the layer?
Exactly. For some purists, that's a compromise. It feels like a step back towards centralization, the very thing Bitcoin aims to avoid. And the practical issue Chris Lass saw, that often comes down to the data. LNURL can sometimes mess up something called the TLV record. That's the bit that carries all the good stuff in a boostergram, the message, the emojis, all that personality.
Oh, okay.
So it might limit messages to, say, 200 characters, or like Chris found, they just vanish. And that really breaks the value for value loop, doesn't it? The artist reading the feedback, feeling the connection, it kills that interaction.
That's a really clear downside for LNURL then, both philosophically and practically for the interaction. So why isn't everyone just on Keysend? What keeps LNURL in the game if it has these drawbacks?
Well, that's the core tension, isn't it? The ideal versus the reality. Keysend sounds great, but honestly, Lightning itself can still be confusing for people. Chad F., He was really open about it, said he finds the whole Lightning thing so complex he's basically given up on it for his app development.
Wow, okay.
And this is someone who calls himself a node runner maxi, someone who really believes in running your own node for sovereignty. But even he feels sometimes the Bitcoin thing gets in the way of just exchanging value, time, talent, treasure, as he put it. And BitPunk kind of agreed, said Lightning tech is maybe the least interesting part for getting more people involved. He argued, you know, Bitcoiners, they already get wallets. The focus should be educating musicians on the why of V4V, not getting bogged down in the how the tech works underneath. There are ideas floating around to sort of bridge this. One is splitting the payment and the message technically. Let the value go one way, the message another. Alex Gates is doing some work there, people call Genius. And Stephen B. has his split box, which is also trying to solve this, though. It sounds pretty complex.
So trying to get the best of both worlds, maybe.
Kind of. And beyond that, people are working on just making things easier overall, like Bolt 12, which allows for static QR codes, easier for recurring payments, though it doesn't work everywhere yet. Or things like BTC Pay Server, which is more like an e-commerce tool.
Right.
It lets people, including artists, set up their own way to accept Bitcoin, maybe pay what you want, even offering a self-hosted LNURL option. Anything to lower that barrier for the creator.
Okay, so these tech choices clearly affect how money flows, how messages get through. But let's pivot a bit. How does all this tech stuff impact the actual community, the human side? How artists and listeners connect? How music even gets discovered in this V4V world?
Yeah, it's fascinating when you compare it to other platforms. Someone in the discussion brought up Bandcamp. And, you know, it is a great model for indie music in many ways. High quality downloads, pay what you want is often an option, good interaction.
True, I use Bandcamp a lot.
Right. But the big missing piece for this ecosystem, no V4V ready RSS feed. So it stays separate. Meanwhile, you still see musicians flocking to Spotify or Apple, even though the payout is famously terrible. Why? Well, reach. The dream of stardom, even if statistically unlikely and financially unrewarding for most?
Yeah, the exposure argument.
Exactly. So the whole V4V appeal is cutting all that out, going direct. Mm-hmm. Artist to listener, listener to artist, taking back control from those giants.
And that's where Boostergrams become so, so powerful, right?
Yeah.
It's not just tipping, it's different. That giddy feeling creators talk about when they get a boost in a message in real time.
Oh, absolutely.
Imagine pouring your heart into a song, putting it out there, and instantly getting not just, you know, a few sats, but a direct message saying, this track means something to me. That's huge motivation. It's direct validation.
It really is. It fuels them.
And for listeners, too. That feeling when your boost gets read out on a show, knowing you directly supported that artist and they heard you, that's powerful engagement. It builds community, too. We see things like Noster helping artists connect, like Aaron of Essex was mentioned, and just generally the community supporting its own members.
But here's the flip side, the challenge that came up. Artist engagement isn't always there. Many podcasters playing V4V music find that artists get the splits, the sats, land in their wallet.
Uh-huh.
But they often don't acknowledge it, don't interact. Sometimes maybe they don't even realize they're getting V4D support, especially if their app, like Wavelake was mentioned again, isn't showing the messages clearly.
Right, if they just see sats appear without context.
Exactly. And we have to be fair, artists are busy, like incredibly busy, touring, social media, making the actual music, promoting. V4V can feel like, as someone put it, another field to tend, another thing demanding their time and attention.
That makes sense. It's another platform, another login,
right.
Potentially more tech to figure out.
Yeah. And the risk is, if artists don't engage back, that listener excitement can fade. If that direct connection, that feedback loop is missing, why keep boosting? The magic kind of fizzles out.
That's a really crucial point. The loop needs to close.
Mm-hmm.
It also feels important to remember how, well, niche the V4V music audience still is.
Mm-hmm.
It's this intersection of people into Bitcoin and independent music and specific genres. It's not like, say, a general news deep dive that might pull in a broader crowd and more boosts.
Definitely a smaller pond right now.
But the flip side is, podcasting is great for discovery. These V4V music shows, they're becoming really key ways for listeners to find new indie artists they wouldn't have heard otherwise, right within this supportive ecosystem.
Absolutely. They're curators and discovery engines. And looking ahead, it feels like this whole scene is very community-driven, very self-reliant. You've got people like Stephen B. just building tools because they're needed. Others like Chad F., TJ, focusing on making better apps, better websites, specifically for music creators and listeners in this space. And there's always that underlying tension, you know, between the, let's call it maximalist approach, run your own node, total control, pure Bitcoin principles, and the need for things to just be easier for regular artists and listeners. Solutions that maybe aren't 100% decentralized, but get more people in the door.
Yeah, the purity versus practicality trade-off.
Right. And maybe the key insight from the roundtable was about expectations. If everyone involved, artists, listeners, podcasters, adjusts their expectations away from like instant Spotify numbers and focuses on what V4V does offer, this slow burn, this authentic connection, the sustainable direct support, then it can really grow. It's about building something solid, not just chasing hype.
So, wrapping up, it really feels like the core tension is clear. You've got the incredible potential, the freedom of these V4V technologies like keysend, like self-hosting, this promise of true sovereignty. But then there's the messy reality of making it accessible, the need for solutions, maybe LNURL, maybe platforms like Fountain that make it easier to start, even if they involve some compromises on that pure decentralization ideal.
Yeah, exactly. But despite all those debates, all those technical hurdles, that unique interaction, that direct line between creator and supporter and the community that builds around it, that still feels incredibly valuable. It's motivating. The basic tools are there, the passion's there. That drive for independent music and direct support keeps pushing things forward.
So, a final thought for you listening right now. As this V4V music community keeps figuring things out, trying to connect these different pieces, how do you see that balance playing out? That balance between, say, technological purity and just getting more people involved? And maybe even more critically, what role do artists themselves need to play to really make that value loop work in this pretty unique ecosystem?